Welcome to Creative Maine, an hour-long monthly program produced for and broadcast by WERU 89.9 FM Blue Hill, Maine, and at weru.org. This show considers the making of craft, fine art, food, literature, music, dance, museums, and any other form of creative expression here in Maine. We also discuss topics of global cultural significance and interest. My name is Adina Salmonson, and I am your host for this monthly exploration of all things creative. Should you have comments, questions, input, or suggestions for the show, send them to info@weru.org. Please list Creative Maine in the subject line. The life of the arts is a test of the quality of a nation's civilization, said JFK. As a lifelong musician and crafter, I am thrilled to be presenting my areas of interest and passion to you on our wonderful community radio station right here in my Orland backyard. On today's episode, we consider the making and marketing of books in Maine. Our first guest is Maine author Michelle Shores, the author of The Gathering Room. We then speak with Suzanne DePhillips of Bucksport Trading Post about how Maine titles fit into a Maine-made gift shop business model. And we wrap up with a visit to Bookstacks, independent bookstore in Bucksport, and discuss the gathering, marketing, and encouragement of Maine writers. Welcome, Michelle Shores, to Creative Maine. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on WERU and talk to us about your path to being a writer and your book that you have written. I'd like you to discuss what it means to you to be a published author. This is something a lot of people aspire to and never quite get there. So what does it mean to you?
Well, being a published author is something that I never set out to do. So it was a happy accident. And it has brought to me some of the most amazing experiences in my life. I felt that I have been blessed to live an amazing dream come true. Who gets to do this, right? Who gets to go to book signings and stand in front of historical societies and talk about something that they created, book clubs, libraries, things of that nature. So yeah, it has meant the world to me, and I will always be grateful for this experience, but it was nothing that I set out to do.
It's interesting that some of the best things that happen to us are by accident in some way, but writing a book is not an accident. And you wrote The Gathering Room about Maine folklore. And so I would be interested to know how that all came about. How did you go from zero to 60, as it were?
Well, actually, the piece of Maine history that I based my novel off from is not folklore. It's actually documented history. And in some circles, it is considered the first documented ghost sighting in America. So it has quite a historical backing behind it. They were real people, and the situations that happened to them and to the folks that lived in the towns of Sullivan and Franklin were very real for those folks at that time. I came across the history in a book by Marcus Labrizi, who is a professor at the University of Maine. In 2010, he had written a nonfiction book called The Documentary History of the Nellie Butler Hauntings. And I came across that in 2015 for a Halloween read, because I don't read fiction. I read nonfiction. And so his book was nonfiction, and it was history based, which is also a love of mine. And so I picked it up. I became absolutely fascinated with the people that claimed to have seen this ghost. The ghost and the sighting and the reactions to what happened are all very well documented in the historical record. What was missing was how all these people knew each other beforehand, their emotions, their conversations, which we know don't exist in historical records. And I did a ton of research and then literally woke up in the middle of the night and went, well, I'll just write what I think happened. And so that's what I did.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And to have the self-confidence to do that, my hat's off. So you had the concept, you woke up in the middle of the night, you started writing like mad. Where, how did you go from that to actual publication?
Well, it took me 6 years to write the book because I wasn't writing it with any other intent other than just my own entertainment. You know how they always say, write the book you want to read? Well, that was exactly what I was doing. I wrote what I want. I tend to be a little rigid, anal. So fiction was a struggle for me to let go. I remember at one point I drove to Sullivan and drove to point A and then drove to point B and measured the mileage and it was too far. And I started having a meltdown because in my very rigid world, things had to be just so. And then the thought came to me, no, this is fiction. You can create this world for the reader. It doesn't have to be exact, you know. So it was a huge exercise for me to be able to let loose a little bit from my research side of me that wanted everything to be A, B, C, D, you know. But for 6 years, I just wrote for myself and I would research and I would dabble. And if I had a scene that was coming up that I wanted to make sure that it was perfect for me, I would research the culture in the 17th century, the 18th century, New England, and I just picked away at it for 6 years and then put it in the closet.
You put it in the closet?
I did. I put it in the closet. And then I became aware of self-publishing. I was introduced to Maine Authors Publishing down out of Thomaston. Mm-hmm. Jane is a wonderful person. And through my job with the Maine Tourism Association, I actually came in contact with her regarding her business. And as she was explaining to me what her business was, I had no idea that you could self-publish books. I was still in that mind frame that if you wanted to become an author, you had to query to an agent and all of these things. And when she told me that people really do self-publish their own books, I said, well, I wrote a little story. It's 369 pages, but it's a little story, right? And she said she'd like to take a look at it. And she did. And I remember her calling me and she said, you need to do this. She said, this book will sell. And I said, oh, no. I said, you misunderstand. I don't want to sell this. That would be embarrassing. You know, I just wanted to print some books for my kids, you know, leave something behind, the bucket list kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I had friends who I had allowed to read bits and pieces of it. And so I wanted something for them. But thankfully, I listened to Jane and I listened to Nikki, who wanted me to submit it for awards. And it sells like crazy. And it won 4 awards. So
fantastic. Did Jane participate in the editing process with you, or did you have an editor?
Maine Authors Publishing is what they call a hybrid publisher. So they vet their manuscripts like an agent would or a traditional publishing house would. And then they provide authors with all of the tools that you need to self-publish your book. So they get you in contact with an editor, a graphic artist to design the cover, someone to do the layout. They get it up on Amazon for you. They do the digital piece for you so it can be done on Kindle. All of this is done. And you retain 100% of the rights to your work, unlike traditional publishing where you sign it over and then they can make changes to it and everything like that. But with a hybrid publisher, you pay for all of these services and then you can retain 100% of the rights to your own work.
That's phenomenal. So we'll get back to that. But tell us a little bit about you. Obviously, you didn't set out to be a writer. So what did you do? How what path led you to this?
I was a stay-at-home mom for 20 years, and I raised 5 children.
Wow.
And I have great kids. And then when the kids all went off to school and grew up and moved away, I then entered into the workforce, and I started in sales and marketing in the newspaper industry, the Bangor Daily News, and I moved on to the Portland Maine Today media with the Central Maine papers and such. And from there, I was most recently the advertising manager for the Maine Tourism Association. So I have a background in marketing. So when the book took off and I realized, ooh, I have a product that will sell, my instincts kicked in and then I hit it hard. I remember being at a book signing back in the summer of 2023 and someone walked by and she saw my book and my banner, and she said, "Oh, I've seen this book." She goes, "I've seen this book everywhere." And I thought, "Yeah, yeah, you have. You have for a reason."
Wow. Okay. So you were a writer of sorts if you wrote copy for the papers and advertising and
I didn't write copy for anything for the newspapers. I went out business to business and sold ads. Actually, I started at the Bangor Daily knocking on doors selling home delivery subscriptions. So I have no problem talking with people. Nope. The only writing I ever did was in school as a child and in high school, obviously. When I was raising my children, I was very interested in research. I've always researched. And I became aware that the city of Bangor's, and this was before the internet, the city of Bangor's vital records had never been published. They just existed on microfilm. Mm. And so I went through the microfilm and transcribed all of the vital records because I have a knack at reading old handwriting for some reason. And so in 2001 and 2002, I published what's called Bangor's Vital Records, Volume 1, Births, and Volume 2 is deaths. And they date, they're records that date from about 1792 to 1891, I think.
Wow.
But there was no writing involved. It was just reading the handwriting off from microfilm and typing it onto a floppy disk and delivering it to a publisher.
But what a fantastic resource for historians and others. That's tremendous. Getting back to the actual writing of it, there may be a lot of members of our Creative Maine audience, myself included, who are have a stirring inside us who might want to write, but never quite figured out how. And an author and a writing teacher once told me that if I wanted to expand an idea from a short story or a tale, if you will, to a novel, he says, just add more characters. What do you think of that advice?
I'm an outsider in the literary world, so maybe my opinion would be different. But I disagree with that only because, one, I did present the first 1,200 words of my book to an actual agent. And she said there were too many characters. And there were only, I think, 4 or 5 in the first 1,200 words. But anyway, and because the ship comes into the dock and the family is there to meet them. That's why there's so many people standing there. But more recently, I am reading a book right now by another self-published author out of Ohio or Wisconsin. And I was 3 pages into it and I was up to about 15 characters. I have continued on. I'm about halfway through the book and I can't keep track of anyone anymore.
That is something, especially in, I remember reading a lot of Russian literature, and there was like, not only were the names unfamiliar, but they were legion.
Yeah.
it's difficult. Okay. Many of us, as I was saying, who are no longer, shall we say, in the first blush of youth, dream of writing a book, but it's really difficult to move off home plate. And I know you woke up in the middle of the night and started scribbling your thoughts. But what advice would you give someone who has these dreams and these urges? What would you say to a person like that?
100% don't pay attention to anyone else out in the world. Don't do it the way they tell you you need to do it. Don't follow anybody else's guidelines. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. You mm-hmm. sit down and you write the book that you want to read. And then when you're ready to publish it, if that's what you choose to do, we live in a wonderful time where people can self-publish. And if you want to get your work into book form, you can do that. But you don't have to follow anybody else's rules or guidelines but your own.
Well, that's good advice. Is it one and done for you? Are you thinking of other stories? Do you want to write? I know you mentioned to me in a correspondence that you're not looking forward to a sequel necessarily of The Gathering Room. But
yeah, I find that a lot of, now that I'm aware of indie authors and the self-publishing world, I find that indie authors tend to do that quite a bit. They write a series. And I don't know if that's because they get onto a topic and it's easier for them to stay there. I don't know. I don't know what it is. For me, I changed careers because of the book. And so now I am running a campground, and I have never worked harder in my entire life. And I don't have time anymore to write. Will that happen again sometime in the future? It may not. I don't know. I have ideas now that the creative juices have started flowing and I understand this process, and I'm like, well, I could easily do this again. I have ideas of things that I would like to write, but being an author and writing this book that was so well received was a moment on my life's journey, but it was not my destination. And I'm just willing to take whatever life brings to me. And if there's another book in there, there's another book in there. And if there's not, this has been an amazing experience, and I am so thankful for it.
That's exciting. Very well put. Well, how can our Creative Maine listeners find you? Are you doing more book talks? Where are you represented, I guess? If people want to find The Gathering Room, where can they go to find it or you?
Well, The Gathering Room can be purchased in 82 different retail locations across the state of Maine. It can also be purchased if you'd like a signed copy. You can purchase it directly from my website, which is mshoreswriter.com. Or if you feel more comfortable giving your credit card information to Amazon, you can find it there as well. Okay. Which I understand. That's fine. You can also find me. I'm not as active on social media now because we opened the campground in 21 days and I will be here until October. So I won't be out much. But if you'd like to stop by the campground and say hi, we're at Pleasant Hill Campground out in Herman, Maine, just 5 miles outside of Bangor. I do sell the book in the store as well. So right now the campground is my 100% focus. I'm not very active on social media anymore. I do have a Facebook page. It's M. Shores Writer, also on Instagram, but I'm too busy with the campground right now to do much on social media. So
is the campground long-term camping, or is it tent camping, primitive camping? Do you bring your RV in?
We have a mixture of everything here. We are open May to October. You can bring your RV in. We do have tent sites. We also have cabins for rent, and we have a rental RV. So if you've never stayed in a camper, but you thought about maybe wanting to RV, you can come and try out our RV and see if you like it.
So you can have an RV as a writer's retreat.
Yeah. 100%. I'll put you right down there. I actually recommend the cabins for a writer's retreat because they're down along the pond and they have a deck on them, and the doors of the cabin open onto the deck, which faces the pond, and the fountains are there, and it's very relaxing. So
sounds good. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on with me. I think this is a lot of fun, and I think there may be some people inspired by your story.
I hope so. I was 56 years old when I wrote this book, so there is no end to what you can do.
Excellent. I love that. Thank you so very much, and good luck with your camping season.
Thank you.
Creative Maine is alive with activities, presentations, workshops, concerts, and all manner of cultural endeavors. At this point in the show, we highlight a few of the many calendar items going on around the region. Migratory Fish Day will be celebrated in Orland, Maine, on Saturday, May 24th from 10 to 2 at the Orland Dam at the corner of Fish Point Road and Castine Road. Come, watch the migrating fish, learn a little history and a little science, and experience the community built around the keystone species of alewives. For more information, visit the Town of Orland Facebook page. Join the celebration Write ME on May 31st at the Waldo Theater from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in person or virtually on the Waldo Theater's YouTube channel. Write ME was a Maine-wide epistolary poetry project spearheaded by Maine Poet Laureate Julia Bousma, in which paired poetry pen pals communicated with each other through poetry letters for a number of months. The results will be showcased at the Celebration of the Power of Poetry. The Bangor Band will kick off its outdoor summer concert season on Tuesday, June 17th at 7 p.m. at the Bangor Waterfront. Bring your lawn chairs and a picnic and enjoy an evening out. Bangor band concerts are always fun and always free. In case of rain, they will play at Peaks Auditorium at Bangor High School. For more information and to find out the band's summer concert schedule, visit bangorband.org. For a more complete listing of events, visit our website, weru.org, and click the Community Calendar tab. If you would like to add an item to the community calendar, you may follow the prompts on the calendar page and submit your own event for the list. If you have an event that you feel is particularly pertinent to Creative Maine, send a note with the details to info@weru.org and list Creative Maine in the subject line. You are listening to Creative Maine on WERU 89.9 FM and on WERU.org. Next, we speak to the owner of Bucksport Trading Post, Suzanne DePhillips. Welcome, Suzanne DePhillips, who is the owner of the Bucksport Trading Post in Bucksport, Maine. And we are going to chat with Suzanne about her shop and also what she does for Maine authors, which is very interesting. The Bucksport Trading Post is a store that specializes in craft and art items, edible and inedible, that are made in Maine. And so tell me a little bit about what inspired the establishment of your store.
I have been a big traveler. And when I travel, I like to bring back something from the locations I'm visiting. And it's usually in the form of art. It's not always art, but it's something to the area that would, you know, I could put in my home or in my office. And when I would go into the stores, a lot of times the gift stores, they have beautiful things, but often they're made in other places. Mm. So it's something that, and often you'd see the same items in every single store. So when I, you know, started Bucksport Trading Post, I did a call for artists and I was able to, you know, I looked to put really just local artisans in the store, also authors, books. I do have a wine shop that's a full wine shop. It's not, you know, Maine wine. It's something that draws people into the store as well. And it gives a platform for, you know, them to look around. They come in for wine sometimes, and then they're looking at the art or the books or the main sourced items, you know, that's in the store.
Mm-hmm. So tell our listeners a little bit about you. You have a very interesting past. What were some of the events and passions in your background that made you feel this way about arts, crafts, and the concept of locally made? You said you were a big traveler.
Yes. So, I mean, my background is been in public safety. There's no correlation between my current career choice and my previous career, but I did have a very good friend. My friend Kathy and her sister Karen. Kathy was a big and is a big art lover, and her sister Karen has written 45 books. So between the two of them, I went to every single art and writing event in the Central Florida area, which is where I was living at the time. And I just grew to appreciate the arts in general. I mean, I always loved it. I don't have a background in art or art study. I just had two very good friends who I appreciated it through their eyes. And then I started to appreciate it through my own. And then when we would travel, it was part of the travel experience. You know, mm-hmm. We would seek out locations that had stores with art in it, or just being in areas, you know, when we were in Italy, for example, we went to museums, but the whole country
is a museum.
Art. But there was a new appreciation to everything that I saw.
And you probably also gained an appreciation through them for what it takes to produce a book or produce a painting or whatever the art form is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
So earlier in our episode today, we have heard from Michelle Shores, who became an author, as she says, without really setting out to do so. And she mentioned that you sell her novel, The Gathering Room. What attracted you to her book particularly?
I mean, to be honest, I met Michelle when she was promoting her book at the Belfast Farmers Market. Oh. And we struck up a conversation and we discussed her book and, you know, that she was in Fort Knox and that, you know, and she told me the story of the Gathering Room and how she came to write the story, which was interesting in and of itself. She came into the store. She's done a few book signings for me. And everything in my store has a story. So her story of writing The Gathering Room is also a selling point to the story. So I don't know if that makes sense, but people come in and I have over 50 artists in my store now. And I have, I believe, over 10 local authors. And I get to know them. And so when you know their story and how they can't come to write or to create the art or what motivates them or even their background, it's a selling point. And it's, to me, you know, it makes it interesting. And that's kind of what happened with Michelle, is that I, you know, got to know her. I hadn't read the book. I read it afterwards, but, you know, it's a great story. She's a very good writer. I can tell you that I had a friend who read the story before me. She was staying at my house soon after I received it, and I had to go out of town and she was watching my dog. She read the book in one day. I mean, it wasn't even 24 hours. So I came back and I've given her two copies since then. And she loves it. She gives it out to friends and she lives in Sullivan. So, and she was telling me how accurate it was as far as the locations and all of the landmarks. And she lives on one of the streets that, you know, is mentioned in the book. And so
they're all real places and real people.
Real places. Yes. And so it makes it even more, I mean, the story is historical fiction. So it's based on true events. She filled in the before and the after. That was the draw for her, that she wanted to know what happened before this occurred and what happened afterwards. So that's the creative side of it. But she did a lot of research in the book in and of itself. So
do you do any writing, Suzanne?
Do I do any writing?
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I'm in a writer's group with Michelle now. I invited her into the group. It's a new group that I've joined with Vanessa Newman, who is a writer, and she's in the store as well. She writes children's books and some other genre. And so we put together a writer's group and we invited Michelle in because Vanessa is writing a historical fiction based in her own family background. And so she was kind of having, I don't want to say blocks, but she was trying to navigate some part of the research that she was struggling to get. And so we brought Michelle in to, that's what writers do. Sometimes they help and they explore how to, you know, get from one
point A to point B, sort of.
Yes. And so, yeah, so I am in a group with her and I do enjoy writing. It's part of the reason why I'm here in Maine, is that I decided to kind of change my life and get back to things that I enjoy doing, and which is writing.
Mm-hmm. Where does the group meet?
Well, right now we're just doing Zoom on Sunday evenings. Uh-huh. And it's a small group. It's just, you know, there's five of us and we're meeting and we spend about an hour and we do prompts and we discuss where we're at. Everybody's kind of working on different things and it's been good.
Wow. Well, so you have a sense of what Michelle had to do to produce this book. She said she worked on it for years.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So you sell Maine authors as a part of your Maine Made model.
Right.
And books are a pretty important feature of your store, I gathered. It's not a bookstore, but it's a book as an art piece, kind of.
Yeah. I mean,
is that fair to say?
Yeah. So in the store, as I said, I have over 50 artists. Everything is sourced from Maine. Authors come into my store now. And so they're looking for, they want to sell their books. And for me, it's easy to sell them when I know their story as well. So it's a part of it. You know, I'm not a bookstore. But people come into the store for the exact same reason that I opened the store. In fact, I just had a conversation with one of my customers who was traveling, and they wanted something from Maine. And they, some of the stores, and there's nothing wrong with the stores, but they were looking for Maine, whether it's, I sell syrup, I sell chocolate, I sell coffee, I sell other things. They wanted to take something back that was sourced in Maine and made in Maine. And so that's specifically why they stopped.
Do you feel that a store like yours would contribute significantly to the popularity of a book like The Gathering Room, or to the overall knowledge about it and sales of it? I think Maine Made carries that kind of weight.
So there's several books that I carry that are written by Maine authors. They have some sort of connection to Maine. Some of them aren't, you know, written in, you know, about Maine or some event that happened in Maine, but their writing is a result of them being in Maine. So it kind of, I guess, evokes a certain type of, even for me, it changes the way that you're thinking, you're seeing the world through a very different lens when you're here, and it's calm and it's creative and it's, you know, the natural resources that are all around you and the people. So the people in Maine are, I mean, people always said, you know, people, you know, Mainers are rugged or tough, or in a very good way, but they're kind, and they're kind of salt of the earth. That when I hear that they're not complainers, they just kind of get it done. And so when you, even if you're not from here, it draws those people, those kind of people, to this state. And it kind of, and if you're not that kind of a person, it kind of makes you step up and be that kind of person. It's just, you're surrounded by them. And so I think that comes out in works, whether it's in books or whether it's in the paintings or sculptures or the, you know, wood turned items. It all is derived from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And if you're a visitor who's just on vacation, you bring a little piece of that home with you. And
yes,
it's a wonderful thing to have and to ruminate on in the future. So who are your customers by and large? Do you have a lot of locals? Do you have a lot of tourists? Or is it not fair to ask you that 1 year in or so?
Yeah. So I'll be open 1 year on May 16th. And I'm learning my customer base, but obviously, they're a big part of it are tourists or people who are traveling. But there's also another component, because a lot of my customers have homes here for decades, and they come and they live here between May and October, and then they winter somewhere warm, or they've grown up here, they have family homes their whole entire lives, and they come into the store. So I consider them local, and I will be open all year round. I closed in January, so I might be closed in January in the future. I haven't really decided, but for the most part, I'm open most of the year, and I need local support, and so do all small businesses. So it's really important because Maine is kind of dotted with all, you know, small towns and small businesses, and local support is what carries them through the winter months. So it's a combination. And because I'm new, I'm, you know, it's slowly growing, and it's been a very positive experience for me.
That's wonderful. So what would be the best way for an artist, crafter, author to be considered for representation by Bucksport Trading Post?
People come into my store every day. I just actually brought on two new artists this week. But the best way is just to reach out to me. You can, you know, look me up. I have a website. I have Facebook, on social media. But if they just, you know, Googled and called me and sent me an email, usually that's how it gets started. They come into my shop and they show me, they bring some of their work. It always starts with the conversation. They send me pictures, or they bring in their books and we have a conversation, and it's about just fitting into the store and what's right. You know, sometimes they have different works, even different genres of books, and maybe the ones that come into the store are just a better fit than others. And mm-hmm. I can't really tell you what that is. It's just, even for them, they say, you know what, this would probably work better in your store, you know, mm-hmm. than this book. So, or paintings and sculptures and different things. So
I see. Okay. So tell us the URL, the phone number, the email, where our Creative Maine listeners can find you and the Trading Post.
Well, we're located right on US 1. So it's 103 US Route 1 in Bucksport. So if you're, you know, coming off the Verona Bridge and you turn right at the Hannafords, or if you're, you know, we're just down the road less than a quarter mile. And I have a website, which is www.bucksporttradingpost.com.
Okay.
And of course, we're on Facebook. And all you really have to do is put in Bucksport Trading Post, and you'll find us.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. This has been so interesting. And welcome to the area. I wish you many long years of success here. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at arts and crafts events in the future.
Oh, thank you. I do want to mention that we have Cork and Canvas events just about every other weekend. We have one coming up on May 17th, and we have one on the 30th. And what we do on those events are we have a wine tasting, which we have daily wine tastings. But this is where my South Portland Wine Company comes in, and they'll pour for us. We invite some of our artists, and we also have authors that come and do book signings. But we set up, the artists will come out and they will set up work. Sometimes they're painting, sometimes they're bringing extra work, and we'll have some jazz music, some live jazz music at the time. So it's from 1 to 4. It's, you know, just about every other weekend, every other Saturday. And that's on our website. And it's really nice. It's a great vibe. And it, even if you just come and enjoy, it's nice to talk to some of the authors or some of the artists that attend.
Excellent. Well, that sounds wonderful. I think people will enjoy going to that. Thank you so much for coming on Creative Maine, Suzanne. And we'll be talking to you again, I'm sure.
Well, thank you for having me.
Welcome, Kate Corwin, to Creative Maine. We're so glad to have you here to talk about Maine books and Maine authors and what they mean to your business. Kate is the soon-to-be owner of Bookstacks in Bucksport. Bucksport has had Bookstacks as a well-known and beloved independent bookstore for many, many years, and all of us in the community are thrilled that it will be ongoing. And so, welcome, Kate, to both Bucksport and the book community. So
Thank you. Let's talk
a little bit about your business model as it features Maine authors.
Yeah, so we have a couple different ways that we feature Maine authors, one of which is that we love to have them here in the store when available. We've got a couple different events coming up with Maine authors. All that legwork, by the way, is completely credited to Lisa Ladd at the Buck Memorial Library, but we are happy to provide the books to sell at those signings and author talks. But we have also had a couple here. Tess Gerritsen has come into the store a couple times. Andy's got a great relationship with her.
Andy for a second.
Andy is the current owner and operator of Bookstacks and founder. He opened in July of 97. So this July will be the 29th year of Bookstacks. And he had many, many years previously working for Mr. Paperback and Magazines, Inc. when they were operating. So I could not ask for a better mentor. I could not dream of a better mentor, truly.
So that's Andy Lacker, by the way.
Yes, Andy Lacker. Yep.
Awesome.
So we have author talks. We have some authors that reach out to us directly to say that they're interested in having a signing, which is always lovely. We're happy to accommodate when we can. Otherwise, when you're in the store, when an author isn't here, we have a main section, main category in our store. To be in that main category, the book needs to be about the people or places in Maine. It does not necessarily have to be written by a Maine author, although most are. Other than that, we have Maine Authors Publishing provides bookmarks for those books written by Maine authors. So it's a red bookmark indicating that it's written by a Maine author. And for those, it flags the book for prospective readers, but also they live in those categories that that book surrounds. So Down East or Down Coast by Adam White is in our mystery section. He's a Maine author. Paul Warren is a very well-known author, but happens to also be a Maine author, and he's a mystery as well. And it's so wonderful when I see people pick those up and they're like, oh, it looks like it's got a Maine author tag in it. I'm like, yes, it does, which is really, really cool. So eventually I would love to have a shelf dedicated to featuring Maine author books across all genres. So just to bring people's attention to it.
Right. There's a Maine shelf.
Yeah. We have a whole stack for, Maine subjects. And as I said, most are Maine authors, but not all. But I would love, much like our new titles feature shelf or our bestseller shelf, I would love to have a Maine authors feature shelf as well.
So you do have relationships with some of these authors. I know you said they call you, but do you believe that these connections support them in a significant way?
I do. I don't think it's really possible to describe the look on an author's face when they come in. They just happen to come in and they see their book on our shelf. And it's pretty magical. It's pretty magical. They're like, that's my book. And it's just this awe and wonderment. And it's magic. I love it. I love it so much. And so I think that just the act of carrying that book is meaningful in that way. And then when it sells, I mean, like, yeah, that's the goal. But for so many independent publishing authors, it's that dream come true that this has been many, many years in the making. So I think it is important for them on a personal level, but also for our economy. I mean, the dream would be for these small authors to just be authors and not have to have it be a moonlighting job, which is what it is for so many of them. It's a labor of love. Yeah, it's emotional and psychological support of our communities as well as economic.
I know that I speak to people who run gift shops, which is not obviously the same thing, but many of them also feature Maine authors. And people come looking for souvenirs of Maine. People from away, they come as, you know, for vacations and so forth. And many people want to bring home a couple of souvenirs. And a book about the place where you've been is a wonderful, wonderful way to do that.
I think there's a way to, there's something in the way when you're reading a book by a Maine author that gives you just an immediate sense of familiarity that is, it's a little difficult for me to describe, but just there's something in the cadence of how they write or in the speech patterns of their characters or the way that they describe a certain scenery is just like, that's home. And it's really wonderful. I mean, it's such a very small example of
sort of a visibility. Regionalism.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. But like, it's a very small example of visibility. Gillian French is a great example of this, and that Gillian French is from this area, and she is published by Harper Teen, which is very cool. She has an adult book coming out this year. She will be doing an author talk at the library. We're very excited. Gillian lives in Hamden now, but she has multiple titles on our shelf. One of them is Grit. It is a fabulous story, and it takes place in a little town between Bucksport and Orland. Like, it's very central. It's
there's not much between Bucksport and Orland.
No, and it's like it takes place around this event that they don't call Bayfest, but is Bayfest. So it's just there's little things like that are not always outright called, but speak of a place of home. And I think as a reader, that's really powerful to feel and to read.
Absolutely. You have a book club associated with Bookstacks.
We do.
And, which I am familiar with. How often does the club read and choose a book by a Maine author?
Most, and you might need to help me with this, Adina, because I've been part of the book club only since last July, but most recently, was it our March book or our February?
I think it
book?
Was the February book was by Michelle Shores.
Right. Who is a Maine author.
She's actually interviewed on this.
Wonderful.
This episode. So
The Gathering Room was the first one that I had come across with the group, but I think is probably doesn't happen as often as we would like, but we're a democracy of a reading group in that we vote. we put forward our recommendations and we all vote together. I think finding a common theme or a common topic that everybody could agree on, and then finding a Maine author that does that topic would be perhaps a special project that we could do.
I know we've read, I say we because I am part of this book club. We have read books dealing with Malaga Island and dealing with Indian Island. And one of the group's perennial favorites is The House at Lobster Cove. The author's name escapes me right at the moment, but it's about historical Ellsworth.
Yeah.
In part. And it's also a Maine author.
And Amanda Peters, not a Maine author, but her book, The Berry Pickers, is about Native American or Native peoples, migrant workers coming from Nova Scotia down to Maine to work in blueberry barrens here on the Midcoast, which is pretty, speaks of a whole part of Maine history. Even though it's a book of fiction, it pulls from truth and speaks of a whole part of Maine history that I think people forget sometimes.
Right, but you're right. The visibility and saying, I know just where that place is.
Yeah. It's pretty special. Building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very special. So would you say who would you say are the primary customers for the Maine made books?
I would say locals and native Mainers that are visiting from other parts of Maine. Interestingly enough, like there are those tourists from outside the state or outside the country that come and do pick up those titles as souvenirs, as you said. But there is a solid community of people that are like, oh my, which I feel like this is such a Maine thing of like, oh my niece's younger cousin on her mother's side wrote a book and I'd like to come pick it up. So like, it's like friend of a friend or a cousin of a cousin of a cousin. But they know them to as much of a degree as you can claim somebody to know in Maine, which I feel like always extends further than perhaps what is real. But those people come in and they're like, I would love, do you have that book by so-and-so?
So relationship geography kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For others, there's, I would say the secondary biggest population is those people who visit loved ones in the area. Again, some geography relationship there, but have such good memories and meaningful memories. And so it's not just a one-off souvenir. It's very much a deeper connection to their time here. We do get tourists, absolutely, but for those specifically like Maine-made, Maine author things tend to be Mainers, which I think is really beautiful.
Interesting. Yeah. So do you find that other Maine bookstores have similar experiences?
Yeah. I mean, so I've gone to visit other independent bookstores in the area, obviously Briar Patch and talk to the owners there. And then Elliott Anodyne in Searsport and Left Bank in Belfast and Grump and Sunshine in Belfast as well. And I've talked to them a little bit, picked their brains about stuff and mostly just to introduce myself. So we haven't gotten a chance to talk deep logistics yet. But for the most part, I would say, yeah, I think indie bookstores in this part of Maine, at least from my experience, have such a loyal local support and fan base, really, where they will do everything they can to get their books through their independent bookstore instead of going more mainstream. So when I was talking with Anodyne and saying, are you able to do a lot of local author talks and what does that look like? And at Anodyne, actually, she does local artist art shows because she has a bigger space now. And she says that brings in so many wonderful local people. Yeah, you have tourists that are driving by that see the sign and they pop in. But those that are seeking out what our stores have to offer are the people of Maine.
Very good. So it just is a full circle. That's fantastic. Yeah. So can you tell our Creative Maine listeners if you have any advice for people seeking books about Maine or by Mainers or even for Maine writers thinking about writing a book?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of, in the state of Maine, a couple publishers. There's Island Port Press. There's also Down East Press. So like two very well-known names that you could go and see their full catalog. And most everybody, as long as it's not out of print, and even then we can sometimes get it. If you go through that catalog of titles that they have, you can more than likely find something that would interest you and then go to your indie bookstore. Otherwise, I would say talk to your indie bookstore owners and the people that work there, because we can usually pull something out that you've never heard of or never considered and provide those titles for you. And I would say that there's a couple events each year. Bangor Authors Fair is another one where I cannot recommend that enough. I was lucky enough to go to the opening mixer the night before and got to rub elbows with some of the local authors, but also talk to some of the publishing houses from the area. They were so willing to just answer questions and talk their stories and talk about how they got here and their book. And I think for aspiring authors, Maine authors, is to just talk about that's what you're doing, because as I said before, it's usually somebody's cousin's mother twice removed will know somebody that can help you with that kind of thing. You know, like I know a guy. And there's just such the community of Maine authors is so open and welcoming and diverse and is so accepting that there's no idea that's a bad idea. And especially for the Maine Authors Fair, there's, if you go to their website, there's a host of resources as well as a list of authors and titles that were being shown at the Maine Authors Fair. So keep an eye out, or the Bangor Authors Fair. Okay. Keep an eye out for that. And if you can attend for 26, go.
Okay. Well, how can people find you and Bookstax?
So as with most things in life now, we are on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, you can just find us as Bookstax. On Instagram, we are Bookstax ME. And otherwise, you can stop on by. We are at 71 Main Street in Bucksport, phone number 469-8992. And never hesitate to shoot me and or Andy an email at bucksportbookseller@gmail.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. This has been so
much
fun.
Thank you, Dina. Thank you.
And hope to talk to you again about maybe other topics. So thank you.
Wonderful. I would be delighted. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to my knowledgeable guests, Michelle Shores, Suzanne DePhillips, and Kate Corwin. Our theme music is composed and performed by Ariel Chapman. If you have questions or comments for me or any of our guests, please send them to info@weru.org. Please write Creative Maine in the subject line. As Memorial Day approaches, I wish to acknowledge the role our servicemen and women have played in keeping our nation safe and free so that we may safely engage in our various forms of creative expression. We must not take our ability to freely express ourselves in words, sounds, and art for granted. All of our nation's citizens, not just our servicemen and women, must consider our roles in preserving that freedom. Please join Creative Maine at WERU 89.9 FM or on WERU.org for another eclectic episode on Thursday, June 19th at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, when we will learn about the concept of a fiber shed. Thank you all so much for listening. This is Adina Salmonson wishing you a wonderful month of the arts and crafts that enrich your lives and bring you joy.